The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and for the next hour, I'll be speaking with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we will cover a wide range of topics that will impact your health for the better. Little bits of information that ultimately you can put together to make a plan that supports your energy, your sleep, your immune system, every different aspect of your health. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
Just relaxing. Just having a very easy introduction into the morning.
Well, we talk about various things that can improve a person's health, hopefully reduce their risk of getting sick. And exercise is one of those things. And it's funny how people can always find time to eat, but they can't find time to exercise.
Very good point. Okay.
You know, I say that to patients when they say, well, I try to fit it in, but I sometimes don't get the exercise in. Exercise, one can argue, is just as important as eating.
Oh, very, very much as important as eating. So important for so many different aspects of your health.
Well, so I have good news for people that have trouble fitting it in. I'm going to show them how to get the benefits of exercise in less time. There was a recent experiment that showed that one single minute of strenuous activity within a 10-minute exercise session. So in other words, all you got to do is exercise for 10 minutes. So everybody should be able to get that into their schedule. So they said one single minute of strenuous exercise within a 10-minute exercise session is as effective as working out for 45 minutes at a moderate pace.
I have been working with that perspective for a certain amount of time with my clients because I talk to them all the time about the importance of fitting it in, and everybody's got 10 minutes.
So here's what the study did. They had 25 out-of-shape men in their 30s. And they were recruited for this trial. Their aerobic fitness and insulin sensitivity were measured at the outset of the study. And by the way, your doctors can do this. They can measure at least your insulin levels, but they're not, is my hunch. When clients see you, Janet, do they ever come in? They come in with blood work sometimes, right?
Oh, they come in with blood work all the time.
Levels?
Very, very rarely. When it's your patients, Dr. Slavin, then I see the insulin levels.
Biopsies of muscles were also taken to assess muscular function at the cellular level. And then the men were randomly divided into three groups. The control group maintained their current exercise regimen, which is, like most people, virtually non-existent. The second group engaged in a 45-minute long endurance workout, riding at a moderate pace on a stationary bike. And that's what a lot of people do. You know, they want to spend that 45 minutes, maybe to an hour, doing something, a treadmill, a stationary bicycle. But in order to make the continue for that length of time, they got to pace themselves. They got to do less than all-out activity. And that's where the problem is, because the third group, they did high-intensity interval training. In other words, after a 2-minute warm-up on a stationary bicycle, They cycled about 20 seconds, followed by gentle pedaling for 2 minutes. In other words, they went all out for 20 seconds, as fast as you can go. And these intervals were repeated 3 times for a total workout of 10 minutes. But only 1 minute was actually spent on strenuous exercise. Now, you think you can do that? I think that's doable for everybody.
Okay, I have kind of modified the suggestion, that whole approach. When I talk to people about it, I tell them walking or walking in place. Mm-hmm. You do 10 paces at a comfortable pace, 10 paces as fast as you can go. You go back and forth, you alternate those for 10 minutes, and you're done.
All right, but the key is you really have to go all out.
And if
all out for 20 seconds is too hard, then you can reduce it to 15 seconds or maybe even 10 seconds. That's the beauty of this approach, is that you can adjust it to your level of fitness.
And you don't feel exhausted at the end of it because you have recovered in that slower pace interval.
So here's what happened. So these three groups, what they did was they worked out 3 times a week for a total of 12 weeks, in other words, for 3 months. And by the end of the study, you had the endurance group had ridden for 27 hours, while the interval group had ridden for 6 hours, with only 36 minutes of that time being strenuous. So which group would you rather be in?
I want the 6 hour, right. 36 minute group.
Over a three month period.
Right.
So when scientists.
I've got 6 hours out of 3 months.
Right.
I do.
So when the scientists retested the men's aerobic fitness, muscles, and blood sugar control, now they found that the exercises showed virtually identical gains. In other words, you can go for the 27 hours. But you don't have to. You can get the same results if you just worked out for 6 hours over a three-month period. In both groups, endurance had increased by nearly 20%. In other words, if you can't do the 20-second all-out workout, you start with 10 seconds, you'll get better and you'll gradually be able to reach that 20-second point. So both groups had increased by nearly 20%. Insulin resistance also improved significantly, and there were significant increases in the number and function of certain microscopic structures in the muscles that were related to energy production and oxygen consumption. So we're showing you 10 minutes a day, and in fact, not even 10 minutes a day, it's 10 minutes every other day.
I've got 10 minutes every other day.
So
and just imagine what you would be able to do for your health if you did 10 minutes 5 days a week, took the weekends off. That's my routine.
All right, here's another way to do it. Let's say you want to go outside walking. You walk away from your house for 5 minutes, and then you turn around and come back. You've done your 10-minute workout, and every 20-second intervals of really rapid walking, which is really strenuous.
Power walking,
and that's a good workout. Not jogging. Jogging has a lot of wear and tear on your joints, your knees, your ankles, whereas walking is, there's less trauma to the joints over time. I wonder if they interviewed marathon runners. I wonder if any of them have no aches and pains in their knees or ankles.
Okay, very, very interesting consideration there. I think marathon runners, they're looking for a different aspect, a different reward from their exercise, which is more cerebral.
I would agree with that. In fact, when they look at marathon runners versus sprinters, obviously, you look at them, you can tell the difference if you ever looked at a track meet. In my opinion, the sprinters are in better shape. But the marathon runners change their body structure to be able to go for those 3.5 hours of endurance training. which doesn't really prepare you for high-intensity exercise. So they wouldn't be good at that. But what high-intensity exercise does is strengthens your lungs and your heart for stress, for, you know, that may come on with an illness, for example.
I recently read an article that was very apropos of our discussion this morning, and it had to do with chia seeds and certain group of Mexican indigenous individuals, and they were very much adapted to extreme lengthy runs. So they could run for 30 miles. They could run for a very extended period of time. And what was the fuel that they used was not my favorite, but I'm reconsidering how to put it into my daily routine, and it's chia seeds. So this group of people, that's what they used as fuel for these long runs. So I'll see what it does for my tennis game.
So the conclusions of the study, well, as we mentioned, the people who exercise for 6 hours over a three-month period got the same benefits as those that exercise for 27 hours. So the difference is about is exercising efficiently, meaning short, intense bursts of exertion. You can get fit in a mere fraction of the time it would take you engaging in more moderate exertion. And you can do that in 10 minutes. 10 minutes three times a week and you're done. And it can be any exercise. Now, if you want to do more than this, I mean, that's important too, because this type of exercise, high intensity interval training, doesn't take the place of resistance exercises. It doesn't take the place of flexibility exercises. It's very important for both flexibility and strength training. But this is the kind of exercise that's going to improve insulin sensitivity and get your heart and lungs in good shape in just 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes three times a week. So you do this type of workout and you'll see pretty good results. There are other variations of this approach, and we'll talk a little bit more about that after this break.
Okay, that music means it's time for a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment, 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here this morning with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are talking about ways to energize your body, enhance your immune function, get fit, and not have to spend an incredibly elongated amount of time achieving these excellent results. Dr. Slavin?
So we're trying to make exercise available to everybody, because really it's nothing is more important than that. You know, they haven't come up with a pill to replace exercise yet, although they're probably working on it.
Okay, I'm going to say the combination of ubiquinol with PQQ probably comes really close, Dr. Slavin.
Really?
I'm not letting people off the hook with regard to their exercise. However, you want to enhance the effects of your exercise. You want to minimize the stress associated with exercise, the stress to your body, or level of exhaustion after you've expended that exercise energy, ubiquinol and PQQ.
Well, how about this idea? If you can't squeeze 10 minutes three times a week into your schedule, how about 4 minutes four times a week?
Okay. 4 by 4.
Right, but this may be a little more difficult. This approach has been promoted by Izumi Tabata, Dean of the College of Sport and Health Science at Ritsumeikan University in Japan. And he developed a high-intensity interval protocol that requires just 4 minutes of exercise four times a week. So here's what his protocol is suggesting. 20 seconds of all-out drop-dead effort. I think that's what we said before, didn't we?
Yes.
Followed by...
Wait a minute. 4 minutes of what effort?
Well, high intensity, drop dead.
I don't like that phrase. No.
But here's what makes it hard, though, and this is why, I don't think people are going to be able to do this. Followed by just 10 seconds of rest.
Yeah, you have to make it.
But if you're in good shape, you can do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, to say that is not the way to start out.
No. But so this is for people in a really good shape, and then you repeat this cycle 8 times. In his view, if you could actually keep going after 3 or 4 minutes, you're not doing intensely enough. So you're not working out hard enough. When performed 4 times a week for 6 weeks, participants in one experiment increased their anaerobic capacity by 28% and their VO2 max, which is an indicator of cardiovascular health, and maximal aerobic power by 15%. Meanwhile, the control group, and here's what they did, sounds like most people, they performed an hour of steady cardiovascular exercise. How many people talk about they got to get their... their cardiovascular or aerobic exercise in. So they go on a treadmill or a stationary bike for that hour. Well, that group improved their VO2 max by 10%, and their regimen had no effect on their anaerobic capacity because they didn't stress themselves enough. So I think that's, an extreme approach. But for people who are in good shape, that's how you can take it to the next level. In other words, the other approach was 20 seconds of all-out exercise, and that was followed by... Because there are different approaches here. You do the 20 seconds of all-out exercise, and some people say...
One of the things that I think is just keep it simple, the KISS principle, and that's You know, walk for a minute, warm up.
Here's what it was.
Do 10 seconds as fast as possible, 10 seconds recovery. If the 10 seconds is not sufficient recovery, then it's 10 as fast as possible, 20 recovery. And you create it for your own needs. Start out at a very reasonable approach, because if you start out too intensely, you won't stay with it.
Right. So the point is, you're never going to have to work out for more than 10 minutes. So here's what it was: a 2-minute warm up on a, say, a stationary bicycle. But regardless, you could do that with walking and power walking. You can do it with rowing, even on a treadmill. On a treadmill, the way I would recommend it is, rather than increasing the speed, raise the incline.
Okay.
Because I find that's really makes it more stressful. And then you bring the incline down. So 2-minute warm up, then you go 20 seconds all out. So after you increase the incline to a maximum level, then you can increase the speed a little bit to really...
And I'm sorry, there are plenty of people who don't have a stationary bike, don't have a treadmill, don't have a gym membership, and that does not mean that they're excluded from this. Walk in place in front of your television set or walk outside, and you can accomplish the same benefits as somebody with a very, very expensive gym membership.
So, 2 minutes of a warm-up, then you go 20 seconds all out, as hard as you can, as fast as you can, whatever movement you're doing. And then you take 2 minutes to recover.
Okay.
And that should be adequate for everybody.
Absolutely.
And then you just repeat that interval 3 times, so your total workout is 10 minutes. But only 1 minute was actually spent on strenuous exercise. And remember what I said at the beginning, that 1 minute of exercise was the equivalent of working out for 45 minutes at a moderate pace.
Okay, so when people are able to work this into their daily routine, what are the benefits that they're going to get, Dr. Slavin?
Well, you know, you've heard a lot of talk about the mitochondria. Well, it's going to trigger the increase in mitochondria, which is your center of energy production. And also, by doing this, you reverse the aging process. And in 2011, there was a review published in Applied Physiology, Nutrition and Metabolism, and they showed that exercise alters mitochondrial enzyme content, which helps increase cellular production and in so doing decreases the risk of chronic disease. You know, by the way, this is also going to reduce inflammatory markers, because you're not over-exercising. That's the problem. When you go, when you measure inflammatory markers after that marathon, they're going to be elevated because you've really created a lot of reactive oxygen species, otherwise known as... what's the other term for that? That's the technical term.
Okay, oxidative stress.
Well, oxidative stress But you've created a lot of that when you do the mile. You're not doing it in this type of workout. And here's something very interesting. One of the universal characteristics of cancer cells is they have a serious mitochondrial dysfunction, which radically decreased numbers of functional mitochondria. So we're doing just the opposite here. This promotes the growth of more mitochondria, which goes against cancer.
PQQ, that's what it does. More mitochondria per cell.
Oh, here's the word I was looking for, free radicals. There's another name for reactive oxygen species, free radicals.
Okay.
So when you increase mitochondrial activity, it has an effect against free radicals. And the free radicals are toxic, produce toxic byproducts. They are the toxic byproducts of metabolism, as well as exposure to chemicals, pollutants, and other toxins. So that we can understand. We can understand that you're exposed to things, it creates free radicals, and that's a bad thing. But if you don't have enough mitochondrial activity, you get the same effect. And when you have too many, and this part we know, free radicals, it overwhelms your body's defenses, leading to oxidative damage to cells and tissues. And in turn, that can destroy cellular proteins, lipids, and DNA. And it's a vicious cycle, and this damages more mitochondria, and it's a downhill course. And one of the results of this is an increased risk of chronic disease, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, all these things fall into that category. So, in the long term, irreversible damage to, in the mitochondria can occur, leading to impaired ability to utilize carbohydrates and fat for energy.
I'm going to jump in there, Dr. Slavin. I would never say something is irreversible. I so strongly disagree with that statement. Irreversible damage can occur is what you just said. And
right.
I so think that is incorrect. I think there is always the ability to turn around the damage that has occurred and prevent additional damage from happening. And you do it with extreme clean eating. You do it possibly with fasting. And you know, there are ways of caring for your body that will reverse damage.
And I would agree. I think what they're okay. saying here is if you don't make the changes, you get those irreversible damage to the mitochondria because you haven't made the change that can reverse it.
Okay.
So, well, so they have at least two studies have shown that exercise induces mitochondrial growth in the brain. Who doesn't want that, right? That helps limit or even reverse age-associated declines in cognitive function. In other words, dementia.
Okay, so crucially important for people to understand that not only their diet and their supplemental use of things that are supportive of brain function, herbal and otherwise, exercise is a critically important part of this whole picture. I tell people all the time that your brain works on glucose and oxygen. And what is one of the benefits of supporting one of the benefits of exercise? And that supports the level of oxygenation of tissues. Cancer, low tissue oxygenation. Diabetes, low tissue oxygenation. Heart disease, low tissue oxygenation. So here's 10 minutes out of your day, maybe just 5 days a week, and you can make such a difference with your brain health.
Okay, with this some music, when we come back, more information about them.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today 954-748-4991 to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. We're talking today with Dr. Herb Slavin, and you just heard about Advanced Medical Testing Center and the Institute of Advanced Medicine. With regard to our discussion today about the importance of exercise, how can you monitor your progress? Here you go. At the Institute of Advanced Medicine and covered by insurance is the heart rate variability test. Heart rate variability test is going to give you information on your progression based on the effort that you're putting into your exercise routine. And remember, we're talking 10 minutes a day. Then you can come to Advanced Medical Testing Center and without a prescription, pay cash and have your fasting insulin level tested. And that will very much show your progress with regard to benefiting your body with the exercise approach.
Now, Janet, we have a seminar coming up June 11th, which is a Saturday. Starts at 10 a.m.
I'm very excited about that. I'm excited about what the people are going to find out about.
And, having mentioned that, I think, we're going to show people exactly what the heart rate monitor does. We're going to show people a few other things. There's a unbelievably important test called cell well-being. We're going to demonstrate that.
That's what I want to see.
We're going to show the ultraviolet blood treatment.
One of my favorite treatments.
And the new version of that, where you don't even have to take blood out of the body. You just put the light source in, which delivers not just ultraviolet light, but red light and green light. And the reason for that is those other frequencies of light enhance blood flow through the body.
Now, Dr. Slavin, yesterday you talked about someone who had a very limited capacity on a treadmill, then had the ultraviolet blood treatment. And what was the result of that ultraviolet blood treatment?
Right. Because of poor circulation in his legs, he would report that he could just walk for about 3 minutes before he had to stop because of the pain in the tissue. The tissue pain is caused when you exercise, you need increased blood flow to the tissues, and his legs, his blood vessels were narrowed, so you couldn't deliver the blood flow and the oxygen to the tissues. After the treatment, he was able to walk for 14 minutes, and he stopped at 14 minutes. Not because he had pain, his pain still hadn't come back. He stopped because it was time to go.
So, ultraviolet blood treatment is another way of enhancing your exercise capacity.
Well, let me tell you why this is particularly important, not just to address infections in your body, but because it improves blood flow throughout your body. It's going to be very effective in helping wounds heal, because one of the reasons people have trouble with wound healing, particularly in their extremities and their legs, particularly amongst diabetics or people with peripheral vascular disease, the blood can't get to those tissues to heal. And with this treatment, you improve the blood flow to the tissues, making healing much more likely.
And in addition to improving blood flow for that gentleman to his legs, in general, improving blood flow to the brain is dramatic benefit to brain function.
Well, the same thing's going to happen. If you have, what happens with everybody, as you get older, blood vessels narrow, so you're going to have diminished blood flow to every organ. So this treatment improves that. So that's probably why people feel much better We had another patient after the treatment said she hasn't felt this good in a long time.
Wow.
Just by improving blood flow throughout the body. We're going to show that treatment, so you'll see firsthand how it's conducted. And then, let's see what else we're going to do. We talked about the cell well-being, the heart rate variability, the ultraviolet blood treatment.
Thermography, are we talking and about thermography at all?
And we'll talk about thermography. And speaking of that, I hope you remember to go to our website, naturaldocradio.com, and sign up for that free internet seminar, Breast Cancer Prevention. It's going on all this week. So you can still catch up. You know, just to sign up, it's free. And learn about what mainstream medicine fails to do and fails to tell you that most diseases are preventable. All you have to know is what to do to make it preventable. They don't tell you about that with regard to breast cancer, and that's what the seminar is about. Imagine women are being told, get that mammogram so we can catch it early, instead of telling women what they need to do to prevent the breast cancer.
In a nutshell, some of the recommendations with regard to preventing breast cancer, very inexpensive and very effective. Support your vitamin D level. And once again, at Advanced Medical Testing Centers, you can go in and check your vitamin D level, and your goal would be in the 80s. Dr. Slavin?
One more thing. I think what I'll do also for the event is have them put together some packages of special prices for the blood tests we've been talking about.
Okay. Do you have to be fasting for a vitamin D level?
We won't have to draw the blood at the event. We'll just give you a coupon so that you get that price, and you can come anytime fasting. But it's usually they like to schedule appointments so they don't keep anybody waiting. You can get in and out fast.
Okay, so lots of exciting things coming up, and that's Saturday, June 11th, starting at 10 a.m. And you will have the opportunity to be introduced to so many of the therapies that are available at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, and not necessarily approaches that you're going to find out about if you are dealing primarily with mainstream medicine. So this is the forward-thinking approach to supporting good health, not necessarily waiting to be diagnosed with a treatable medical condition. Prevention is the name of the game.
The mainstream docs aren't telling you this information because they don't know this information. They're trained to treat illness. They're not trained to keep you healthy. And I think that's the reason, because otherwise, why wouldn't they tell you about all this?
I had a client yesterday, Dr. Slavin, and the question had to do with a sore throat. And his grandson was taken to a pediatrician, complaining, 5-year-old, complaining that his throat was sore. And without doing a culture, that 5-year-old was given an antibiotic. Do you have a comment on that approach to treating someone with a sore throat?
Well, this gets to be the patient out of the office quickly.
Oh.
I think, we don't do pediatrics routinely, although we will do testing on kids. What kind of testing? Heavy metal testing. It's a urine test. It's easy to do. You don't have to even draw blood for that test.
Critically important for children that are exhibiting behavioral issues.
And we can do stool analyses. Very important to evaluate the digestive tract and the gut flora. So what was the
antibiotic
question?
Use antibiotics without a throat culture.
Well,
for a 5-year-old.
Sometimes you can, on physical exam, you can say that, that looks like a strep throat.
Okay.
But I think in more cases than not, it's a viral sore throat, and an antibiotic would be inappropriate.
Okay, here's my question. Strep, the streptococcus bacteria, is found in the back of the throat routinely. So it is in minimal presence. And when it overgrows its place in your throat culture, that's when you have a sore throat. Is it possible that you can do a throat culture and find strep when there really isn't a strep infection?
Okay. I would expect that they would have to meet a certain concentration of strep. But let me give a suggestion. I think they have a test for strep throat that you would get immediate results on.
Yes.
But here's my suggestion. Do a regular throat culture. After that, use a silver spray on the throat rather than starting the antibiotics right away. And then once you get the report back, if it's actually a strep throat, you could use antibiotics, penicillin specifically. And the reason for that is strep throats have been associated with rheumatic heart disease. And that's a cross-reactivity with the bacteria. So then your body attacks the valves of your heart. So, but you don't have to rush in with the antibiotics. Use a silver spray, because in most cases, that's all you're going to need, because it's a viral sore throat, not a strep throat.
And that was my next thought process was, if it is determined that, yes, indeed, there's an overgrowth of Streptococcus bacteria, you don't necessarily have to go to antibiotics. And so here's what I'm thinking. 100 years ago, did everyone who had a strep throat die or come be diagnosed with rheumatic fever? No. People with natural remedies, and I'm going to say things like garlic, silver, and the substances that have antibacterial properties help individuals recover. And I think, you know, we deal with such an overuse of antibiotics that people need to think about the Silver 100. It's reasonably priced, it's readily available, and it's very effective.
Well, you know, I'd like to say that the history is distorted.
It is.
It's distorted in such a way to promote the use of antibiotics. So it's really hard to get the real history. So when you mention not everybody who got a strep throat developed rheumatic fever, and this is before antibiotics, that's true. But all we know is if you have a strep throat, you're probably going to get rheumatic fever if you don't take an antibiotic. So who wants to take that chance? So they've created fear. The same thing they do with all vaccinations. They want to create fear in people. And it's difficult to find the true history in many cases, because it seems like the history was written by the drug companies.
One of those terms to me. When we come back, I have a comment too, that history was written by the drug companies. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zamorelli with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about potential issues that may develop after having been diagnosed with a strep throat. And rheumatic fever is one of the more serious issues that may develop, among others. So there are a lot of potential developments. Dr. Slavin?
Okay, so rheumatic fever is a complication of a strep throat. Not everybody with a strep throat goes on to get rheumatic fever. So are there other treatments for it? I'm sure there are, but nobody's talking about them. An example would be the ultraviolet light treatment would be an alternative. But it's something you want to clearly avoid. And the treatment, of course, the treatment again is a mainstream medicine treatment, you know, antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, you know, bed rest, you know, all the traditional things. And I don't know that I'm necessarily against any of that, but how could we avoid a strep throat? Again, not everybody gets a strep throat. It's only when your immune system is suppressed by lack of sleep, by poor nutrition, by stress, that would predispose people to it. It's usually, by the way, a condition that affects children between the ages of 5 and 15. So, and it's interesting. Well, how did they treat this before antibiotics?
And that was my question. Not everybody died. Not everybody had rheumatic fever. And it's interesting because the pediatricians, their education is do a throat culture, start the antibiotics before the results of the throat culture come back. And all the time I wonder if that's the best approach.
Well, like I said, you could have an intermediary step. The throat culture may take a day or two, use the silver, and then if it comes back positive where you need an antibiotic, and then that would be the time to start using it.
The throat culture comes back, I say triple up on the silver. Make sure that you're taking appropriate doses of probiotics, because even when you're using silver, the potential for disrupting your microbiome is very much a possibility, and you want to be killing the bacteria, the streptococcus. You do that with the silver. You protect your beneficial bacteria presence with a proper dose of probiotic.
So, it's difficult to find information on
it's difficult to find truth.
The evolution of an illness before the era of antibiotics. And like you said, as with every illness, even polio, you can use that as an example. My father told me he and his brother slept in the same bed. His brother got polio, my father didn't. How come? The same thing here. You know, everybody's exposed to everything. Some people get sick, some people don't. What's What's the difference? Nobody looks into that.
Okay. Certainly reduce sugar. And what is one of the approaches where antibiotics are given to children? A very, very appealing flavor. It might be a berry flavor. It might be a bubblegum flavor. So they get a liquid antibiotic. And what's one of the ingredients in that liquid antibiotic? Sugar. Is that going to support how their immune system works? No, indeed. So, again, you know, we can bring this right back to exercise, Dr. Slavin. Oxygenation, when the tissues are properly oxygenated, the ability of a bacteria to find a happy home is reduced. And so here, you know, talking about kids and strep throat, so many of the kids are inside with video games and TV and movies and all of that. They're not outside running around oxygenating their tissues.
So let's put some things into perspective. Before antibiotic medication became widely used, rheumatic fever was the single biggest cause of valvular heart disease. In other words, a damage to valve, primarily the mitral valve. So rheumatic fever is a complication of untreated strep throat.
And I'm going to say mitral valve problems very much associated with thyroid dysfunction. You support the thyroid and the mitral valve works better.
But here's the statistic that's hidden there. Fewer than 0.3% of people who have a strep throat get rheumatic fever.
Whoa.
I mean, but they want to medicate 100%.
Everybody.
You know, for 0.3% who get rheumatic fever. And not everybody that gets rheumatic fever gets the valvular
disease.
Rheumatic fever is most common among children, like we said, 5 to 15 years of age. But adults can get it as well. Doctors think that a weakened immune system may make some people more likely to get rheumatic fever. It's not a guarantee just because you have a strep throat. And although antibiotic medicines have reduced the number of cases of rheumatic fever in developed countries, there are still thousands of reported cases. So it's still around. So I don't think it would be unreasonable to use the silver spray in the throat because they say untreated. Well, you're treating the streptococcal sore throat. So you're treating it with silver, and then you can, and maybe in 2 days you'll start noticing a response and you say, well, I don't need the antibiotics.
Okay, fewer than 2 days. I'm going to say with the silver, you're going to experience a benefit within 12 hours.
How would you use it?
I would use a spray directed very much at the back of the throat. Hold it in your mouth without swallowing for maybe 30 to 60 seconds. I would use it at least 4 times a day.
And then swallow.
Yeah. Right. Yes, good idea. Then very much the counterpart to that silver application, 2 hours away, you want to use a probiotic.
All right, so at least you do that while you're waiting for the throat culture to come back.
Now, and I would do it after the throat culture came back more intensely.
Well, I think you'll know that the silver is actually helping, so you can continue that approach.
Right.
If you see that it's not helping, but more likely than not, it will help. A lot of times, a strep throat can be confused with mono, because mono will give you the white patches in the throat and swollen glands. You know, the other name for mono, which is mononucleosis, is glandular fever.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it can give you that severe sore throat. And typically what happens is doctors will give someone an antibiotic like penicillin for it. And then they get the rash breaks out because of the mono. And they say, aha, you have a penicillin allergy. And they do this, I mean, this happens over and over again. It's always important to know precisely what you're treating. Don't take antibiotic usage lightly, as we talked about yesterday. It could be associated with severe complications that aren't appreciated because they don't come on right away. They may come on weeks or months after you use the antibiotic, so you don't put the two together.
And I think people might find that extremely hard to believe that the complications will appear or may appear months later. So important to be aware of what you're what you're dealing with and not to use antibiotic treatment in inappropriate situations.
Let me just read one thing about this. Rheumatic fever must be treated right away. If you have a sore throat that lasts longer than 3 days, or if you have a fever and a headache along with your sore throat, you should see a doctor for a throat culture. Even if you do not have a sore throat but have a fever and a skin rash, this could also mean a strep infection, and you should get tested. Remember, rheumatic fever can result from an untreated strep infection, so it's very important to treat the infection before it leads to a worse condition.
Okay, how do you get tested?
Well, I think the other...
When you're doing a fever and a skin rash, how do you test that?
You would have to do a blood test. You would
blood
expect
test.
To see your white blood cell count elevated.
Okay.
You know, you can do an EKG to see if there's anything affecting your heart.
And you have been tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.